up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show.
All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, guest this week, Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Doc, it's good to see you again.
Great to be back. Two in a row.
Yeah, this is good, man. I'm really happy you came back. MyMosh.com for more information on Dr. Pfeifel. We've got a couple of injuries we want to talk about, some local and then some national. J.J. Watt, his 2016 campaign is over. Underwent his second back surgery in 3 months. And he wrote, and I saw this, he tweeted out this: I haven't missed a game since sophomore year of high school. This won't be fun, but it's necessary in order for me to return to 100% and play at the level that I'm capable of playing at. Everybody deals with adversity in their lives, many much worse than I'm going through. I have great people around me, and I appreciate the thoughts and the well wishes from all of you. Looking forward to the fight back to the top, and the next time I can step back on that field with my brothers and play the game that I love. Second back surgery in 3 months is a little bit scary.
Yeah, you know, I mean, anytime you have the back involved, it's scary for any profession. Certainly it has most likely ended the career of Tiger Woods, and that was a non-contact, non-collision sport, let alone J.J. Watt, who is an ominous figure. Grappling along the line, running, twisting, turning, and manhandling guys bigger than him.
Right.
To be able to do that with a second surgery, you know, it's going to be tough. I think he'll be able to get back. He's a great person. I think he has great drive, and he really loves the game, just listening to him. But it's going to be an uphill climb.
Can I ask you, his workouts are legendary. How hard he works in the offseason, the sweat equity that he puts in. In fact, for a while there, he was being ridiculed because he didn't have a life, is what other players were saying. And he said, look, I have a life, but the life I have when I'm done playing football, you know, then I'll change what I'm doing now. But he is, you know, notorious for being in the weight room and getting after it. Do you think that had anything to do with the back issues?
Well, I think it certainly most likely contributed. You know, if you watch some of the plyometric stuff where he does the box hops, and I mean, he's a big guy and he's doing stuff that you were going to see from skill position players with his height and weight. It's incredible. Having said that, it means that he's a workout fiend. And as athletes age, they find that they need rest. They need time away from their sport, away from their workouts in order to recover. And I think these type of seasons like this year for him is going to give him the idea that he needs to have some rest as part of his workouts.
This week I spent some time up in Wisconsin Rapids doing a segment for my brother's TV show called Around the Corner with John McGivern. I do a sports segment. And in Wisconsin Rapids, I did a segment on the Powder Puff football game. And I thought, well, I'll do the segment and get out of here. The game was so entertaining, I stayed. There was so much hitting going on that they've had three ACL tears the last 5 years in this game. And it was some of these junior girls are getting after some of the senior girls and vice versa. And I was talking to some of the teachers from Wisconsin Rapids about Vince Beagle. That's where he went to high school. And they said, man, he's just, you know what, great family, really good kid, well-spoken, worked hard in the classroom and certainly worked hard in the field. And then I come back from Wisconsin Rapids and find out that he's out for 2 to 4 weeks. And they're calling it a cracked, well, at least in this one, a cracked foot. And he's got, a cracked bone in his foot. His father believes he's going to miss 2 to 4 weeks. He also said that he's been playing with it the past couple of weeks. And the surgery was to insert a screw into the foot.
Yeah, what it sounds like, looking at the reports, he had something called a Jones fracture. This is a very common injury for athletes, especially bigger athletes, because they put a lot of load on their small toe. They can try to treat it or without surgery to start with. Most of the time, they don't do well. So screw insertion into the bone oftentimes strengthens the ability for it to heal, and sometimes will expedite their ability to return to sport. I think we heard already Ben Simmons had that injury, very common in basketball. Shaquille O'Neal dealt with this for a long time, but these are common in big elite athletes, especially as they get a little bit older.
Where does that, if it is that, what you're thinking, is that the bone, the screw go on the outside?
If it's what the reports are saying,
yes.
If you think about the big toe, the exact opposite side of the foot, right at the base of the outside of the foot, the screw goes in towards the little toe.
Have you ever done that? Done that surgery?
Yes. Yeah. It's a very brief, short surgery. It gives the athletes a better potential to get back quickly, because this is an area of the body that has a very poor blood supply. So it helps expedite the healing process in most athletes.
Do you think 2 to 4 weeks is pretty aggressive?
That is very aggressive.
Yeah, he's an awfully good football player, and he's a senior, so I know that they're thinking about trying to get him back. The other Badger that we need to talk about is the kicker. He's undergoing back surgery, underwent surgery on Thursday. He's out for the remainder of the year, and he's got a bad back. And it's tough to kick if you've got a bad back.
Yeah, just like we talked last week, the ability to stabilize your core in order to create torque and strike a ball, especially with precision, is almost impossible with a sore back. And this is going to be a long recovery for someone that needs that type of stability.
Hey, let me ask you about Russell Wilson. He was quoted as saying there's no doubt he will play on Sunday against the Jets. He sprained the MCL of his left knee. He also, I know, had some problems with his ankle. And doing this show long enough, I'm finding out that when you have an injury in one part of your body, if you don't take care of that, there's a chance you're going to have a second injury somewhere because you're trying to make up for that. And I don't know if this happened with him, but a sprained MCL in his left knee, how will that affect him playing quarterback?
Well, certainly he is a right-handed thrower. So when he's going back, it's not on his plant leg. But a large portion of his game is escapability and the ability to move the pocket. So when you have a knee injury, that portion of his game is diminished, so he becomes basically a pocket passer. So I think it will be a little bit tougher for him, and he just won't have the options that he typically does.
Hey, this week off that the Packers have early, and it sounds like nobody likes it, week four, and no matter what team it is that gets a bye that early in the season. But it might be a godsend for the Packers because they had a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball really nicked up. And when you're talking hamstring with Clay Matthews, and you're talking some of the injuries that we're talking, that week off, and if not longer, is going to be very helpful to them.
Absolutely. Well, the majority of NFL teams want the bye week later because most injuries haven't occurred. Having said that, the Packers were fairly decimated on the defensive side. We saw that in the second half last week. When they got their lead, they just shut it down, and to the point where they almost lost the game. But I thought they did it. It was a very good strategy because their personnel was so limited, and that's what happens in the second half. So I think although most teams don't want it, it's a godsend for the Packers this week, especially from some of their larger injuries, especially Clay Matthews. I think he'll be able to be back in two.
Hey, I got to tell you a quick story about Mosh. I was on the sidelines for the Milwaukee Riverside, Milwaukee Hamilton game Thursday nights on My24. And Mosh now is manning the sidelines for city conference games, which I want to thank you for that because for years they didn't have anybody. And there was a young man, and I saw him laughing as the girl who was covering for Mosh was there. And I kind of walked over, and she was taking off the tape that he had done himself on his ankle. And she said, no, let me change this. And he said, well, I've got him. And she said, no, you can't. We're not doing this. So she took the tape off and she was retaping it. And he was laughing. He was like, oh, that's how that's supposed to feel. And they both had quite a laugh. And I thought, you know what? I just have to thank you people at Mosh because his was all wrong. And think about trying to do that yourself. And I'm sure you could, but guys like me and guys like him, You're just kind of throwing tape anywhere, and hopefully it works. And it was so cool to see them having that moment and her to tape it. And when he stood up, he was like, ah, that's how that's supposed to feel.
Well, we're very excited to be part of MPS and taking care of them. Certainly a big part of our role in sports medicine is prevention, but also education. And so when our trainers are able to cover those events, they can help, but also educate. And we're very blessed to have so many teams that we take care of in the Milwaukee area. And with MPS, we got some assistance from an NFL grant to help take care of those teams and give them coverage, but also supplies and such.
And I don't know her name, and I should have gotten her name so I could have said it on the air, but I watched her from afar, and I was just, as always, very impressed. When they have a MOSH shirt or jacket on, you know that they're top-notch and they're very professional. And really just a very good personality dealing with these players. And she was busy. There was three injuries, and she was on both sides. And she was really busy that night, but always had a smile. And it was really good for me to see that, because I remember a number of years ago being on the sidelines and watching kids trying to tape their shoes or having one kid tape another kid. And now to have the people from MOSH step up and be part of the city conference, I think is very commendable.
Well, we were very excited to be there, and certainly we would prefer to be watching than working, but she was glad when we can help out.
She was busy. Hey, we're going to talk hips today, and we're going to talk about common hip injuries when it comes to sports. Before we get to a break, and we've just got 2 minutes or so, let's talk a little bit about the intro to hips. We haven't talked hips on this show before, and so I'm interested in you know, diving more into that. And I've got a zillion questions, as you see, with the packet that I gave you. We'll never get through all of them. But let's talk a little bit about common hip injuries and what we're going to talk about throughout the rest of the show.
Well, you know, certainly the hip is a big part of my practice. 50% of my patients that I see in my office are sports-related hip injuries or problems. And this in the past was very minimally treated because there wasn't a lot of options. Now we have great therapeutic and surgical options to help our athletes get back on the field. So in this type of situation, I really want to help educate through the radio, just like I do in my office with our trainers. But we'll be talking about hip impingement, labrum tears. We'll talk about sportsmen's groins, things that occur in our twisting, turning athletes especially. So I'm real excited. This is a big passion of mine.
Now that's awesome. You know, I have a brother that lives in Atlanta, and he had a hip replacement years ago. And they told him, you're going to have the second one. And it was not a good experience, that first one. And this was years ago. And he put it off and put it off to the point that he couldn't swing a golf club anymore. And his fear was what happened, you know, 10 years ago, he just didn't want to put himself through it. And there's been so many changes in hip replacement that he was, you know, 2 days later, he called me, he said, you cannot believe how good I feel. Yeah. And I said, really? He said, Michael, if I knew it was like this, I wouldn't have waited. So it's awesome.
Yeah, the technology has advanced very quickly here in the last 10, 15 years, and hopefully we'll continue at that pace.
Yeah, that would be awesome. He is Dr. Eric Pifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on him. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Last week it was all Ohio fans. It's a Milwaukee band, right? Steve Miller?
Steve Miller, yep, straight out of Wisconsin.
It's awesome. Are you going to stay with that trend, you think? We'll find out.
I wore my Wisconsin hat today. I didn't even say anything.
Well, it's red, so it feels okay on the head. It's not Nebraska, but it is the Badgers. I appreciate that. You must have lost a bet. He's Dr. Eric Pifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Pifel. You know, I asked him during a break, what days he likes better, his clinical days or the days he's doing surgery. And he said, you know, surgeons like, you know, we do surgery, but the clinical days, you get a chance to catch up a little bit.
Yeah, we all need a little reprieve, just like J.J. Watt.
There you go. Hey, hips are, again, we haven't talked a lot about hip injuries on this show, and I think it's really important. Can we start out with just kind of the hip anatomy and the relevance to sport and how the hip plays such a big role in what we do?
Well, just like we talked a little bit earlier, the back is a very important aspect to sports because it is the link from the upper to lower extremities. If you think about it, the next step in that transition is the hips. So no matter the sport, the hip is a very important part of it. It gets lost in the shuffle a bit because it is a very deep-seated joint. It's very stable, so we're typically not seeing dislocations. But it is a very important aspect for stance, for baseball batters, for pitching and follow-through for pitchers, for a quarterback going back to throw, for someone getting ready to sprint. So the hip is a very important aspect of transitioning the upper to lower extremities as you begin to play. It's a very stable joint, so if you think about it, it's a ball inside of a bowl. So it's a very solid joint. It is a ball and socket joint, much like the shoulder, but very stable. But it has a lot of muscle groups going across it, and it can give a lot of grief for even non-contact athletes.
You know, when you talk about kind of like the shoulder, you can work out your shoulders. You know, you can work to strengthen them. You can work out a lot of parts. There's not a lot of things, I guess, you would – there's probably more than when you're working out than you think, but there's not specific hip exercises, right?
Well, there are, but the problem is, just like in injuries, we've always talked about shoulder and knee and ankle injuries. The hip is kind of the stepchild that's forgotten. Same when you're working out. You are working out hips when you're doing squats, when you're doing lunges, but they are typically thought of as knee exercises. These are hip exercises as well because both of those muscle groups go across the hips. It's just that knees are much more commonly injured, but the hips are very, very important and oftentimes will be part of the cascade. People with back problems will have hip problems. People with knee problems will have hip problems, just like you were alluding to with Russell Wilson.
When you see what's the most common when somebody comes in and says, look, I got hit, I'm a running back, and my hip has been bothering me now for 3 days. Is it more of a muscle strain, or what's the most common hip that problem that you see?
Certainly in collision sports like football or hockey, it's contusions. So hip pointers, I think we talked about a bit last week, are hit along the pelvis brim. Can be very painful, especially with a helmet. Thigh or quad contusions along the hip can be very painful, even into the backside or the side or into the hamstrings. Those are the most common ones. Typically, we don't have to talk about surgery for them, thankfully, but with collision sports, large contusions can be very difficult to return from, and especially a helmet to the thigh where you have a swelling or a fluid collection can be very difficult for an elite athlete trying to sprint.
You know, when people talk about a thigh injury, they, like you said, the hip is kind of the stepchild. That they don't talk about that being a hip problem, but that certainly can be a hip problem.
Certainly, yeah. They'll in the NFL, they will classify them as hip problems. So hip pointers or Demaryius Thomas had a hip injury. He most likely tore his labrum. They didn't really classify that, but they showed how he was injured, and that's probably what he's dealing with now. In the NHL, they don't even classify them typically as hip injuries. If you look at the NHL injury reports, they'll classify them as torso injuries. So it's very vague because it could be the abdominal wall or the hip, but they kind of lump them all together. So it really is not spoken about very commonly.
You know, when you talked about the hip pointer being a pretty painful injury, my older brother Tim was playing football at Dominican years ago, and I'll never forget this. It was their homecoming game, and he had a big game. And when he came home, he couldn't walk, and he laid in bed. And he had what they diagnosed back then as a hip pointer. And I've never – he was as tough a kid at that age as you're going to find – and I've never seen anybody in that kind of pain, and there wasn't a lot they could do for him.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, you don't have to do anything surgically. Unfortunately, for collision sports, it's very tough to return from because the pain can be very, very intense, and you just need to rest and take some time off of contact.
Yeah, and that's what they he tried to play that next week, and they said he felt much better because they really my parents did a good job of icing it and keeping him home for a couple of days. And just as he was starting to feel better, it was about Thursday, and the coach said, we're going to keep you out 1 week. And they kept him out a week. I think that was pretty smart. Talk about a couple other injuries. And age-wise, did you see many hip injuries in high school-age kids? In youth football, are there much?
Certainly, just like any sport, there are differences in the type of injuries that we see in kids that are still growing. So the middle schoolers and early high schoolers that have open growth plates because they're still have kid bones. So we'll see different types of injuries with those type of athletes. So kickers, even sprinters will sometimes get injuries along the pelvis bone where they get the portion of the bone pulled off. It's painful, but we don't see those in older athletes in the later high school and college and beyond. So we do have hip injuries. It's just a different subset. So we have to keep in the back of our mind when we're seeing young athletes or skeletally immature athletes as we define them. We have to think about those type of things. As they get older, we worry more about the contusions, but labrum tears, hip impingement, those type of injuries.
When you talk about different sports, and let's take football out of the mix if we can, obviously runners, do you see a lot of just straight-up cross-country and track runners?
So younger runners, oftentimes we'll see acute injuries, so acute hamstring injuries, acute quad injuries of the thigh muscles. Sometimes with runners, we will see the irritation of the tendons off the pelvis, especially in sprinters, that gives them a diminished ability to have that burst at the beginning of an event. In distance runners, we will see tendonitis, especially as we get into our older age brackets, hamstring tendonitis, which sometimes really will bother people along that sit bone. Or even quadriceps tendonitis. So running athletes, it's usually an acute injury to the tendons or a chronic irritation of the tendons, but we don't see the collision injuries that we see with football and hockey.
Swimmers? Do you see swimmers much?
Swimmers can get some hip problems. It really depends on the event. Certainly these styles of kicks that are in each of the events, butterfly and breaststroke, those type of things have much different kicks, and hips are much more prone to be irritated during those than someone doing freestyle.
Volleyball or gymnastics? Gymnastics, I would think.
Gymnastics is a entity on itself as far as injuries. Considering the intensity that these athletes are participating, frequency they're participating, especially at a young age and in transition age from kid to teenage to adult. So we see lots of hip problems. They need flexibility for their activity to be great, but with the flexibility comes injury.
Right.
Certainly volleyball or basketball, leaping sports, these athletes hyperextend their backs and hips quite often, and they get a different subset of hip problems where they'll get irritability of the tendons, but tears in the cartilage pad or cartilage injuries.
Can you watch a sporting event from home and see an injury and know pretty quick, immediate, that if they were in Milwaukee and that was one of your patients, you'd know before they came in?
It's pretty easy to kind of at least get a 3 or 4 diagnoses as a possibility. Certainly was watching Adrian Peterson a couple weeks ago, and when his knee went that way, I was talking with some of my colleagues we were watching, and we said three things, and it was one of those three things. So mechanism is a very important thing when it comes to injury, and oftentimes we're able to see it with sports because it's on TV or we're at the event. So it helps us to really get some early diagnosis for the patient, quantify whether or not it is urgent or something we can kind of wait till later.
I felt bad for him as he limped through, you know, in the back of the new Viking stadium because the cart didn't fit through the door. So he had a walk, and he had a limp, and all the fans that were there were looking at him and waving to him.
They took him through the restaurant. They should have given him a taco or something.
Right through the restaurant. I felt bad for him. We'll get to a break. He is Dr. Eric Pfeifel. You can go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Eric Pfeifel, and I would certainly recommend that. He is certainly one of the good ones. Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I should have never asked who this is, because I know who this is. It's the Violent Femmes. That's awesome.
Yeah, from Milwaukee.
I know that. That I know. I'm not a great big music guy, but I know that one. One of the most famous bands from Milwaukee, I think, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're awfully good.
Bodines.
The Bodines. That should be coming next, maybe.
No.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me up front. You want me to pick it?
No.
No, I didn't think so. He's Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information. So some of the things I want to talk about I can't pronounce, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's my job.
Yeah, that's why you went through all that schooling. Osteitis pubis?
Osteitis pubis.
I was close. Let's talk a little bit about what that is.
Well, you know, there are a lot of injuries around the hip. Athletes that have to cut and twist, soccer players, lacrosse players, especially hockey players, the pelvis kind of looks like a pretzel. So if you think right below your belly button, where the bone is there, there's a junction of the two sides of the pelvis. And in between, there's a joint. That joint in females expands for the ability to have children. But for the males and for females not during childbirth, it has motion. And when you run and cut and twist and turn, that joint, but also the muscle groups around it, can get very irritated. And for push-off sports like hockey or roller derby or roller skating, those muscle groups get really irritated and sometimes can get to the point where you can't even stand, let alone try to push off on skates or run.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up roller derby with the shirt you have on.
Yeah, I'm Bruce City Bruisers. I'm the team doctor for them as well. Great athletes.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
I met one of those girls once, and she seemed just the nicest, really quiet. And she said, come to one of our matches. And I'm not that nice and not that quiet.
We'll bring one of them on the show. They are the epitome of what athletes are, passion for sport, and not a lot of fanfare because it's not a professional sport.
Bruce City Brewers. I didn't know the Bruisers. I didn't know that you were the team doctor for that. That's awesome. What is a snapping hip syndrome? What is that?
So
don't laugh at me.
No,
it's
a grouping of injuries in which the tendons that cross in front or on the side of the hip create friction. So as you know from your physics class, anytime you have friction, you can have noise or a sound. So sometimes when athletes get injuries, the tendons tighten up. It creates more tension. Think about pulling a rubber band and then trying to rub it over the side of a table. You get a friction with that. The problem is friction inside our body is not well handled because it creates inflammation and irritation. So if you have a flexibility athlete like a gymnast or a figure skater, where they have to get in positions that are much beyond where you and I can bend.
Right.
Sometimes those tendons don't like that, get inflamed, and will create popping and snappings. Though sometimes you'll hear that in the front part of the hip, or sometimes you'll even see it on the outside part of the hip.
And does that need to be taken care of?
You know, typically snapping hip syndromes are something we can deal with non-surgically. It means diminishing some of the irritation to it by diminishing some of the exposure to activity. Anti-inflammatories, icing, sometimes gentle massage can help with that, or treatments and therapy.
Yeah, reading the definition when I printed this, and when it says the second occurs with a deep hip flexor snaps over the front of the hip joint, I don't know if that's painful or not, but it sounds like it could be.
It can be. There are some people that can do this and not have a pain syndrome with it. But the majority of athletes who have it, it's a secondary problem because it means those ligaments and tendons and soft tissues are irritated and need to be treated so it doesn't continue.
Yeah, and you don't want to just not have it be treated because that's going to cause more problems.
Yeah, our body talks to us in lots of ways. One of them is noise. One of them is pain, inflammation. So this is certainly one of those clues that if you're an athlete, to get some treatment and get checked out.
So when I hear those voices in my head that say, quit eating and keep working out harder, is that what you're talking? Oh, that's something
sure,
else,
that's,
right?
That's a very reasonable sound to listen to.
That is a whole different topic that we have to talk about. Hey, why is it that sports hernias are most commonly in hockey players?
A couple reasons. If you think about what they do, they push off side to side to side to side, and that's how they propel themselves. Then the remainder of their sport has collision, but also torque with stick handling. So the core in a hockey player, if there's ever been a group of players that have a 6 or 8 pack, those are the guys, because they use it in everything they do, from propulsion to scoring. And so when you have that, especially as you get into older athletes, you're going to have some breakdown of the soft tissues of the muscles of those 6-pack muscles along the abdominal wall. So hockey players get them quite often. But Corey Clement had surgery on this, was that last year or the year before? So
yeah.
It happens in football players as well. They don't have the propulsion aspect of the hockey players as far as the push-off, but everything else is there.
If it's a true sports hernia, is that required surgery, or can rest?
No. So unlike a traditional hernia where the abdominal contents kind of push through the belly, where that's an emergency.
Right.
Sports hernias or sportsman's groin, what happens there is that there's a little bit of swelling of the abdominal wall that's very painful with push off and competing. Most of these players actually don't have a lot of symptoms with day-to-day life. It's when they accelerate and start to retrain and get ready for the season that it flares up. So oftentimes they can get by with some anti-inflammatory, some treatments, but when they're not able to run, that's when they start talking about the surgery for it, like Corey Clement had.
Hey, let's get to an early break if we can. Other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about what ended Bo Jackson's athletic career. And that was a problem with his hip. I mean, it was a major problem.
Yeah, he was the greatest athlete of my youth, certainly defined by Tecmo Bowl and Super Tecmo Bowl and baseball and running up a wall. But, it couldn't have happened to a more elite athlete any worse. I mean, this was a terrible situation for him. And we'll talk about that, because fortunately that's very uncommon. And unfortunately it happened to one of our greatest athletes.
And I don't know when it happened, if people understood. I know people like you probably understood that this was probably a career-ending injury, but I think people, including Bo Jackson, thought, okay, I'll get this taken care of and I'll be back next season, but never to come back again.
Yeah, I mean, it was a catastrophic injury. I'll talk to you a little bit about how it happened, because we were able to watch it and see what happened, hear his story about it. And it's a terrible story, but he has been very positive throughout the recovery of it.
Yeah, he really has. He is Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Eric and the people at Mosh. They're just a great group of people. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Pain is an effect. You know the house of pain is an effect, y'all. And anyone that steps up is getting wrecked.
I'm jumping up and down right now. They got any shot today? They're 11-point underdogs.
As we say at my house, the TTUN, that team up north.
Right.
I think we'll have it, but I'll be cheering for Bucky.
Yeah,
and
me
by
too.
The way, this is for my son, Camden.
Camden likes this one?
Yes.
He's jumping up
he's
and
jumping
down
right
now?
He's jumping
right now. Camden, get it going. Turn this up a little bit. Come on, Camden, go.
The Badgers need it all.
Need it all. That's awesome. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Dr. Eric Pfeifel is wearing a Badger hat today. That's awesome.
Yep, gals, pigs will be flying too.
Yes, and my feet are cold because hell just froze over. Go to mymosh.com for more information. Yeah, and I know why you're rooting for the Badgers so hard today.
Well, I'm a Buckeye fan every week, and whoever's playing the team up north.
That's awesome. I have, last week on Faith in the Zone, we had a girl from Cedarville University in Ohio, and she won a gold and a bronze in the Olympics in Rio. She was born without a left foot, and because of the cord, they had to take her leg from the knee down, from below the knee down. And both her mom and dad, big-time athletes in college, cross country and track and field. And her faith was challenged for a minute, and then they said, okay, here we go. And she's a big time. She's 18 years old. And this is, it's incredible what she has accomplished. And she runs against able-bodied people all the time. Her sister's a senior in college. She's a freshman. They raced one time when they were in high school, and her sister's time was 1 second better. And she said, I'm going to race. I got her again this year, and I'm going to beat her. And this girl from Ohio is unbelievable.
Well, you know, we hear all the horrible aspects of sports about drugs, about guys complaining about their money. But then we hear stuff like this. People that persevere, deal with the hand they're dealt, and they show that there is true love and passion, and it can be conveyed through sports. And that's why I'm a big part of this, because I love to see people persevere through tough times.
Best answer she had, because she's, I'm looking at, I printed out some articles with her, and she's really cute. I said, you got a boyfriend? She goes, no. She goes, you know, these boys at Cedarville, they'll ask me for my autograph, but they won't ask me for my number. And I just thought, that's the best line ever, man. She said, I got a gold and a bronze in the Olympics, and they'll ask me for that autograph, but never say, hey, would you put your number there? And I said, well, some boy will. Don't worry about
it. No doubt.
Hey, let's talk about Bo Jackson. And you were talking during a break about a 30-30 that I've not seen that I will see when it comes back around. And I've seen it on ESPN, but I haven't stopped and watched it. He was very open to what happened, and through that show, you got a chance to. Did they slow down the injury so you could see it?
So, based on that, but also the discussions that we have at some of our meetings, and some of the people that have taken care of in the past, they have been very open with this, as well as Bo Jackson. He was running down the sideline, was tackled from behind. I believe it was against Cincinnati, if I remember correctly, and he basically got pulled down his hip. Dislocated as he came down because he was pulled down. He was horse collared. And as he fell and readjusted his leg, it popped back in. And as the training staff got there, they said, hey, how are you doing? He goes, it really hurt, and then it felt better. So a very uncommon injury, certainly for someone of his size and strength to have that, but it was just a perfect set of circumstances, or imperfect if you want to look at it that way. And he dislocated his hip. In any other world, or 99% of the time, he'd have been fine, rehabbed it, and got through that. But unfortunately, the hip has a really bad blood supply. So like we were talking about earlier with the foot injuries and putting the screw in there, there are parts of our bodies that have a bad blood supply, and the hip is one of them. And when it dislocates, sometimes that blood supply gets severed. And what happens is that blood supply doesn't get to the bone anymore, and it dies off. And when that bone dies off, it doesn't function anymore. And what happens is he got something called avascular necrosis of the hip because the blood supply died, and then they had to talk about replacing it.
Had it not popped back in, would that have still happened? Do you know what I'm saying? With the fact that he jumped, that he popped up and the hip popped back in, had he laid on the field, would that have been better for him?
I don't think so. You know, the... And that's why it's so obscure that this occurred, because there is actually a correlation between how long that hip is dislocated and the amount of time that you'll get the bone dying off. And with it popping right back in, it should have been diminished significantly, because the risk to those blood vessels was very low because the hip was right back in. So that's why this is even more head scratching.
On that 30 for 30, did he talk about what it was like for the next 6 months?
Yeah, they talked about how they tried to see how it would go without anything, but they progressively were watching, and it just wasn't going well. So that's when he decided to have it replaced. And at the time, he was playing for the Raiders, but also for the Royals.
Right.
And they said that he really couldn't go back to football with the replacement, but he did go back, I think, for 2 years with the Royals. Certainly diminished capacity, but for him, a diminished capacity was way better than you and me combined.
But you know what? And think about that torque when he would swing, because he would swing for the fences, man.
Well, he could break the bat on his back.
Right.
When he would swing through, the bat would snap if he swung hard enough.
Wow. Hey, a couple other things before we have to get out. arthritis in the hip. The older athletes can experience that. And is that something that you see quite a bit?
Certainly. You know, in this day and age where people are trying to stay fit, people that have gone through a gain in weight oftentimes go through a resurgence back into activities, and they'll have arthritis. So certainly folks that are in that type of position, people that have had injuries as younger folks and didn't have a lot of treatment for it, the arthritic wear can progress. But also in an athlete that has been playing for many years, you get wear and tear, just like you do in the knee or the ankle or the shoulder. So arthritis certainly can do that.
Yeah, I waited for the right at the end on this one.
I'm going to help you with this.
I can't even start with that.
This diagnosis, we'll let you call it FAI.
Thank you.
It is called femoral acetabular impingement.
Now, could you do that again?
Femoral acetabular impingement.
Now the people listening can understand why I didn't even attempt. I circled it and threw the paper over to Dr. Eric Pfeifel. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, certainly. This is a... In the past, so when I was a kid or in the 80s and 90s, when people had hip strains and they had them for 10, 15 years, I mean, to have a hip strain for that long is not something we see. So in the last 20 years or so, we've recognized that in the hip, sometimes the ball and socket joint becomes a little bit off. So if you think about a ball and a bowl, we talked about that with the hip socket earlier, put a prominence on part of that ball. And as you rotate through the bowl, if that prominence hits the side of the bowl, it kind of levers that ball out of there. What happens with that is with the hip, sometimes in younger athletes, but even collegiate and high school and beyond, we'll see that levering kind of irritate the soft tissue. So the impingement or pinching of the soft tissue creates pain. You do that over and over again, especially with high level of athletics, the tissue breaks down and you have injury. And you need to talk about surgery. Lady Gaga, the singer, had this. Alex Rodriguez. So a lot of people will go through this with high levels of activity. This can also predispose to arthritis as you get to an older age. So we are seeing a lot of older athletes that probably had this as younger kids now developing arthritis. So treating this early, we hope will help diminish the amount or the severity of arthritis going forward.
Would she have gotten it from dancing?
Yeah, you know, think about Lady Gaga. I mean, you have probably not watched a lot of her concerts.
Are you kidding me? I have all of them on tape.
No. I knew it.
On tape. There you
yeah.
go.
Sure, not eight-track. certainly she is very electric and dynamic, just like an athlete. So these are the type of people that will get these type of injuries.
We've never talked about Lady Gaga on this show before.
Let's do it more.
I really appreciate you. She's not from Ohio, is she?
No,
there you go. Dr. Eric Pfeifel, go to mymosh.com for more information. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me. Talking about hips, it's incredible that we haven't talked more about it, but you're right. It is the stepchild. And everybody, people don't talk about the hip. They talk about it's the hamstring or it's the quad or it's whatever. So you're really good, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.